Thanks for joining us today for the Financial Review. Time now for another edition of What You Need to Know About Basic Economics. And today we tackle inflation, which is another way of saying prices are rising. More specifically, it's the rate at which the general level of prices for goods and services is rising. Inflation usually expressed on an annual basis. So a 2% inflation rate means that prices across the economy as a whole are 2% higher than 12 months ago. If something cost you $100 a year ago, it'd cost $102 today. Actually, the inflation rate is currently at 1.4% for the 12 months through January 2016. Now, there are several ways to measure inflation. The most familiar gauge is the Consumer Price Index, or CPI, which measures prices at the retail level. The CPI is used to determine the cost of living adjustment, or COLA, which determines if Social Security benefits are increased to reflect changes in inflation. The Producer Price Index, or PPI, measures prices at the wholesale level, including the cost of raw materials and the prices manufacturers charge retailers. The Federal Reserve's preferred gauge is the Personal Consumption Expenditure, or PCE, Price Index. Inflation can help illustrate whether an economy is in good health or whether it's overheating or slowing down too much. Steady, moderate, and predictable price increases are a hallmark of a stable and healthy economy, and that's the goal of governments and central banks. Countries with a high rate of growth can absorb higher rates of inflation. The Federal Reserve has set a target of 2% inflation, the current rate 1.4%, so that indicates the economy is a little slow or weak right now. If inflation gets too high, the economy can be trapped in an inflationary spiral with prices rising exponentially or even go into hyperinflation, which is generally considered as prices rising 50% or more per month. Examples of hyperinflation are Weimar Germany or more recently Zimbabwe. I actually have a $20 billion note from Zimbabwe on my desk. It's not worth anything. In the 1970s, the U.S. had inflation around 20% annually, combined with weak or stagnant economic growth. It was called stagflation. In short, inflation can wreck an economy. And the rate of inflation can tell us about the overall health of the economy. Think of inflation as the cost of living. Compare it to household incomes. If incomes are going up faster than the rate of inflation, the standard of living is improving. If inflation outpaces household income, the standard of living is falling. When an economy is growing fast, workers receive pay increases. They spend their incomes on more goods and services. As demand increases, prices tend to rise in response to increased demand. This is known as wage push inflation. Inflation can also result from the amount of money people have at their disposal. If the money supply grows, there'll be more money chasing the same volume of goods or possibly fewer goods, which will push the prices higher. The money supply can grow because banks lend out more money or because central banks print more money. Inflation erodes the value of money, and it also encourages spending. Buy it now because it'll be more expensive tomorrow or next year. Inflation also erodes debt because the debt is repaid with money that has less purchasing power in the future. Governments know this and have, at times, allowed inflation to increase, effectively reducing the amount of money they owe. Inflation also encourages investment because if you just stuff your cash in the mattress, inflation means your purchasing power declines over time, so you look for a way to grow the money at a faster rate than the decline of purchasing power. And so, interest rates are analogous with the rate of inflation. Over the years, people have come to expect to earn interest close to or slightly better than the level of inflation. However, in many countries, from Japan to the Eurozone, we now see negative inflation, where the banks charge people to store their money. The idea is that if people have to pay to park their money, they will, instead, invest that money. So far, it isn't really working out. When faced with negative interest rates, many people are pulling money out of the banks, stuffing it under the mattresses, or more specifically, they're buying their own safe. The problem with excessive inflation or deflation is that it destabilizes economies. When businesses or households lose confidence in stable prices, they avoid investing and saving, and economies can come to a grinding halt. This is why the Federal Reserve has a dual mandate. First, to achieve maximum employment. We talked about it last week. And second, to maintain price stability, which is another way of saying a nice, steady rate of inflation. To achieve price stability, one of the major tools the Fed uses is interest rates. When they raise interest rates, the idea is that it will slow the economy and reduce the rate of inflation. When they lower interest rates, it will encourage debt and speed up the economy and increase the rate of inflation. It's no easy task getting this right. Inflation has been described as toothpaste. Once it's out of the tube, you can hardly get it back in. Meanwhile, in a deflationary or disinflationary environment, trying to create a little more inflation has been compared to pushing on a string. The Fed is looking for inflation at that perfect level where it's not too hot, not too cold, sometimes called the Goldilocks economy. Doesn't always work out exactly as planned, but that's what the Fed will be trying to achieve when they meet next week to determine monetary policy.